Moncrief on News Talk.
Time for some wisdom that money cannot buy. Exactly. Barbara and Declan join us.
And indeed, money doesn't buy it.
No.
Can't buy it and doesn't buy it.
I know. We've been trying to sell it.
Which is why we're not sure what we're giving as wisdom as well. Just to be clear, you know.
Right. I've been dating a new girl for about a month now, and I've been really enjoying her company. She's really attractive, has a cracking personality, but there's one trait that I've begun to notice and I'm not a fan of it. She's an absolute tight arse. I've absolutely no problem with paying for dates and insisted on paying for dinner and drinks the first few times we met. But now, as things have progressed, she's made no attempt to put her hand in her pocket for anything. I know that this is something that people tend to disagree on, but surely it's not always up to the man to pay in this day and age. She's in a good job, better than mine in fact, and has to be making decent money. But even aside from that, it's the principle. There's nothing worse than someone who's stingy. It's always been a massive red flag for me, but I do really like her. What's the best way to approach it, this situation without seeming like a dick?
The first thing is that this guy isn't a dick.
No, absolutely, 100%.
It is gone well beyond the time that a man should be expected to or should feel he has to pay for everything. I mean, maybe on the first date, if he was the one asking out, it's okay. But after that, no, it absolutely isn't okay. So that's the first thing to say. The second thing to say is, though, meanness is just, I think, one of the most awful traits. And I personally would find that a deal breaker and would run a million miles from it, because that is, if she is genuinely mean about spending money, and it's not that she's got some kind of mad blinkers on about how a relationship with a member of the opposite sex should be conducted, if she is mean, that's probably not going to change. And that'll throw up problems all the way along the line in all manner of ways that will drive this guy insane. So, I mean, you know, okay, she's great crack and he's really enjoying spending time with her. So if you want to have a chat with her and just, you know, I would ask her straight out, are you looking for a man who's willing to pay for everything going forward? Because that's not me. I'm not that man.
Yeah.
Do you know? And I don't know if there's very many men
that's
like
quite
that
aggressive, though.
Forward.
Is it not aggressive? Is it not a bit like...
Well, maybe you could find a way of kind of crowbarring it into the conversation,
but
maybe.
I think she needs a reality check, in fairness. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know why, if they've been out on numerous dates, that she's never paid for anything. Mm. I mean, that's just outrageous as far as I'm concerned. Okay, maybe temper it a little bit. Have the chat, see if she goes, oh, sorry, I didn't realise. I thought, you know, I'd be undermining your masculinity if I insisted on paying my share. In which case, okay, go. Okay, fine.
Undermine away.
So from here on in, let's go Dutch on everything. But if there's any kind of reluctance, run a mile.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is less about a financial issue as it is about opening clear lines of communication. Because I totally understand how in the beginning of a relationship, when you're having your first couple of dates, everybody wants to put their best face forward. So you're kind of going, I really like you. I'm willing to just go all in.
Are you blaming him?
No, I'm saying that it's not weird for anybody to want to spoil somebody who they like. It's part of the process of getting to know somebody. You're going to go, oh, you know, you're kind of a little bit excessive with the generosity, I think, at the beginning of a relationship, particularly if society kind of puts that imbalance in play.
This is not where I thought you'd go with this at all. Carry on. I'm trying to work out whether I agree with you or disagree with you.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that things have started off in a certain way, and the way that they've started off is kind of a societal expectation, which is, I don't go on a date unless he's paying for everything kind of thing. And a lot of women do have that vibe. And I'm down with that, I think. I think that's kind of fun.
But she could
be mean, but she could be one. There is a small cohort of women who actually expect they should be paid for.
But ongoing.
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay. Because it
touches into, it's not a financial thing. It's more about chivalry. Mm. It's more about,
it's
just
like
my way
open.
I want that kind of a person.
So it's I'm all for fellas opening the door for you. That's all grand. And, you know, that kind of chivalrous behaviour is fine. But I think there is an element also, as a woman, of a real disempowering thing. If he's always going to be paying, because he who pays the piper calls the chair.
Therein is his way into the conversation that isn't aggressive. That he can say, is it too controlling for me to pay all the time? Is a kind of a genius way of bringing it up.
Okay, fair.
Because you bring it up that way,
And her answer should be, look, I'm not happy about you paying all the time. Like, yeah. I'd prefer if we split bills.
But I didn't bring my purse this time.
I have a feeling if you say, like, that, if he approaches it like that, is it a bit disempowering for me? She might go, no, not at all, you're grand. And
then he knows where he stands. And then
but
that's
you still
like...
don't know whether she's mean or whether she's just got some warped ideas as to...
Yeah, what... she would have said it by now.
Yeah, I...
She would have said, I'll pay for the next
one. I do also think that if you're in a situation where, you know, is he really into me, or is she really into you?
Of course she is. When or he's is he
into? Or is she into the light you're showing her? Do you know that kind of thing? Is she just getting used to these nice dates where, you know, blah blah blah? So I don't think that that's easily.
I think it's a shocker if she has. I mean, we don't obviously know, but if she has never offered at all to even pay her half, do you know, they're out for dinner and they call for the bill, and that she doesn't even say, "Oh, please let me get it this time," or "Let me at least pay half." That's a shocker, like in this day and age.
Yeah, but it's a shocker in this day and age, unless it's actually part of the reason why she's agreeing to go on these dates with this guy.
So well, then
that's
run a mile.
Maybe what he's starting to recognise is that there is an imbalance in the relationship, and maybe she's, as they say, just not that into you.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. A lot of dumper comments, really. Yeah, she's a leech, one person. Is she American? In my experience, American women expect everything to be paid for all the time. Someone else wants to know, what's her nationality? Lesson learned by me with Eastern European women. I noticed on first dates Ireland that the women never pay. As a 60-year-old feminist, I find this really disappointing. Was in that mean girl situation. The last straw was we went to a restaurant owned by her friend. I had coffee and a croissant. She and the owner had lunch. She tried to hand me the bill and was shocked when I refused. Turned out she was mean in many areas and believed the relationship was all about her, says Tony. Kate says, tell old stingy pants that Christmas is coming and you have to put money aside for presents, etc. So nights out might be not as regular for the next month unless you want to go halves and see her reaction to that. He shouldn't suggest that he's been controlling. He's not been controlling. He's been generous. Maybe he could talk about how generosity is a really important quality to him and bring it up that way.
Okay, that's a good suggestion. Or the other thing I was thinking as you were reading those out is to approach it not from the controlling end, but to say, listen, you know, I am actually all about equality and...
Maybe controlling has a different meaning. It's a bit heavy-handed.
Yeah.
But I do think in the context... All I meant by that was saying, rather than, you know... going for the jugular and kind of being quite, you haven't paid anything ever.
Yeah.
To kind of, is this whole situation
especially
okay?
It's like
for
he knows what she does for a living and he figures she's well paid. It's not that she doesn't have the money, which would be a different scenario altogether. But, you know, he definitely shouldn't be paying for everything.
Yeah.
For sure.
Somebody else suggests break up with her and tell her why, like for her own good.
Right.
I don't know if that will change her attitude, really.
I knew that already.
Someone else says, dump her. She's not going to be beautiful forever.
Neither will you, sunshine.
Yeah, I've always opened doors for women, but nowadays so few women ever say thank you or acknowledge the gesture that I'm considering giving up upon chivalry.
I kind of like a bit of chivalry.
And for people do it all the time. They hold doors open for people.
For people, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be men doing it for women.
Yeah.
I need some straight up heart eating, no BS advice. I started chatting to a lad on Tinder about a month ago, and before I knew it, things were getting a little hot and heavy with the messages. I often wonder how that happens. Anyway, while I'm looking for Mr. Right, I'd no problem with him being Mr. Right now, as a girl has needs. Both knowing what this was, we agreed to meet up for a drink a few days later. We had a laugh, got on very well, sealed the deal that night, as to be expected. He was very kind the next morning, asking did I want to go for breakfast or a lift home, but I declined and put myself in a taxi home to save him the trouble that I was sure he really didn't want to go to. Since that night, we've stayed in each other's houses a few times and it's been great, but I'm starting to develop feelings. What I'm wondering is, can a one-night stand turn into more, or will he always view me as a good-time girl? I don't even know where I'd start to pull back the situation into something more serious.
Good-time girl, Jamie.
What's wrong with being a good time girl?
Yeah. That's the problem, isn't it?
You like having a good time.
That's the problem, isn't it? Is that it's kind of like instead of creating an equal situation, what is actually happening is we're creating kind of like a two-tier system where you can go down into the basement for a bit of fun time. But then you're down in the basement and you're like, oh,
then there might be complaints about that analysis.
Yes, it could be.
Yeah.
It could be in the rooftop, I don't know. But the problem is that the two situations being kind of distinct and separate almost in this person's mind is the problem rather than the other person's attitude.
Because
that's really what's going on here, is that it's almost that she believes that by being,
a sexually empowered woman.
Yes, exactly. And doing what she... being self-actualized and just being whatever, doing whatever she wants to do, that suddenly that actually, instead of elevating her, it actually diminishes her.
Yeah.
And that's as far as I'm concerned, that's kind of a philosophical thing that's happening for her. Now, I'm not saying, by the way, that her analysis isn't correct, that in the world somehow she'd be punished in that way. I don't know with this guy whether that's the truth, because I get the impression, and maybe I'm completely wrong here, that if somebody's going to have a one-night stand with somebody and it's just all about, as she called, the deed, to have a repeat event and multiple repeat events suggests that it's kind of moving in a more serious direction de facto, like automatically. So from that point of view, what I would say is...
Here comes your no BS advice.
Hold the course. Just don't change anything other than maybe like some verbal thing. Like, I would say just keep going where you're going with it, because... And like, what you can say verbally, like, I really like you and all that kind of stuff, but
that's gas. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think she's overthinking
this. I thought you were going, oh, I'm crazy.
I'm amazed that we're absolutely on the same page. I would absolutely agree with all of what you said. I think it's terrible that as a woman, she feels, as you say, in some way diminished and that
she's
so
in a world out,
her
so whatever,
in a rather negative rather than positive way, because, you know, she was initially all up and obviously laid it at the table that she was all up for a one night stand with no strings attached. I think that's awful that she feels that, as you say, in some way, that she would be diminished by that.
Because that's what he was doing too. I mean, that's the whole point.
Yes, exactly. But he doesn't have suffer from any of that. Because
but she needs to, not look in the mirror, but look at the person opposite her.
It takes a long time
for
that patriarchal internalising, that kind of misogyny to move away. Anyway, but I agree exactly with what you said. I mean, I kind of was thinking she's probably overthinking this a little bit at this stage. The fact that there's been repeat performances is a good sign. And the fact that she's starting to feel something, you know, I'm kind of thinking there's every chance that he might be equally starting to feel something, but we don't know.
Now, what does that mean, by the way, when somebody says, I'm starting to develop feelings? Because it's like, what? Like, did you have no feelings for the person before? I mean, like...
initially, there has to be an attraction, but that's all.
And
do you
know
what I mean?
Thinking,
you're not
going to
be worried about whether
guy.
He pays the bill or you pay the bill, because you're just like, yeah, he's attractive, he's grand.
Yeah, and now it's moving into a sort of human...
Oh, I miss him and I like talking to him, Declan. That's what I meant.
Which is what she also needs to hold on to as well, is the idea of that's what's happening, that you're getting to know somebody and you're liking them as a person, and that's all part of the development of something as well. And it doesn't need to go from zero to hero overnight.
That's what I'm saying. She's overthinking it a little bit. Just, I would say exactly what you said. Relax, keep on carrying on, and see where it goes. And just let it run its course. But stop feeling that in some way you have done something somewhat negative by your attitude. That's terrible, and that's not.
Yeah,
not right.
Well, I mean, and that has to view, he has to view her now in a different way. But at the same time, you know, the way the grammar of dating now, I haven't a clue either, but it seems like this is in a completely non-committal phase. And while you could say, yes, just wait and see how it goes, but the longer she lets it, she stays in the see how it goes phase.
But
and she's hoping. But he's not saying anything. And so he could just ghost her.
True.
She probably wants to know, are we still in the kind of, we're just doing it for the laugh?
But I think
phase?
That'll kind of naturally, she'll get signals about that, as time goes on. And I think that as...
And
because
casual
they
ways
can't but help getting to know each other.
Yeah.
And I think she will be able to read it a little bit clearer, a little bit further down the line, you know, that he's not really into. Because if he's not really into anything other than the sex, then he's not really interested in knowing how you are or how your family are or how your job is or where you're going.
And
you know,
he offered to breakfast and a lift home.
Yeah, no, he seems like a nice guy.
And that's maybe the, you know, rather than putting
a low bar, isn't it? He asked me to want breakfast. He seems like a nice guy.
Didn't that
Holy
the old
God.
One? Of course I love you, don't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All that stuff. The girl needs to stay. The girl needs to say one night stand where... do you think we should go on a real date? is one thing.
That's what I was going to say. That, I mean, yeah. It doesn't even have to be a date. It could be that there's some element of their relationship that is beyond that kind of like wham bam, thank you ma'am thing. To kind of go,
yeah.
So would you like to do, do you want to go to the cinema? Do you want to do something that's beyond that?
Can I ask Kesht, when she says then, considering I'm so agitated, when she says then, since that first night, they've stayed in each other's houses a few times, are you guys assuming that they just go, hello, I'm feeling a bit fruity, are you up for it? And she goes, yeah, no, and that's it. There isn't like a drink first or a dinner first.
I'm assuming
like
not.
That.
Yeah, it's just that.
Oh, okay. I kind of got, right.
God, you'd hate the gays.
Yeah.
Sugar,
this is what they used to call a booty call back in the
call,
day.
You know.
Yeah.
I thought that was something to do with your arse.
Yes, that involves an arse, and but all the other bits too.
No, I think it's booty, like as in treasure hunting, as opposed to like, you know, I've got a big booty.
God, I completely misinterpreted that for years then.
It's like a treasure hunt.
I had a one night stand, both agreed it would be nothing more. That was 17 years and two kids ago.
There you go.
And someone else says, I think Barbara and Declan are wrong.
Men
will have sex with women and it can mean nothing. The more sex women have, the more they get attached. I used to think this wasn't the case as a feminist, but unfortunately, my father was right. Nobody buys the cow when they're getting the milk for free.
Well, you know, there might actually be biological reasons why that's the case, but that notwithstanding, you still have to operate in the world and try to make the world, whatever it is, work for you. So if she is bonding or whatever that kind of mechanical term would be, she still has to deal with that situation for herself. And that's like, you know, you can override those urges as well, you know, by nah.
Can I just say that person who texted his father,
it's a woman.
That woman's father who said about the cow and the milk and all, the previous one proved that that's not the case. Yeah. You had a one night stand and are now married with two kids.
Yes, indeed. So yeah, so they contradict anyway.
Yeah, that's baloney.
Yeah, okay. Well, it depends. I suppose it depends on...
You're not even for the milk.
The modern way to ask is, what are we?
Oh, is that what you say? What are we? That sounds like
an existential question.
Oh, I thought it was a pronouns question.
The church is
inside the people.
Okay, I hope you can help me with a really big life decision I've been grappling with. I'm a 36-year-old woman, been single for much of my adult life. As I'm sure you've heard from other listeners, modern dating can be difficult. Yes, we have.
Yeah.
And after a lot of disappointment and frustration, I've stopped looking for a partner. Now, I've made peace with being on my own romantically, but for as long as I can remember, I always wanted to be a mother. And that dream is something I'm finding it difficult to let go of. I'm really considering having a child alone, but I'm unsure if this is the right decision. I work full time, and while I have very supportive parents and siblings who have insisted they will help me with childcare, I'm just not sure if this is fair on everyone involved. Is it selfish on me to bring a child into this world when I'll have to work full time and already know I will be relying on others to help me? Will I be enough for my child as a sole parent figure? I know many parents do it alone, but often not by choice. I often wonder, am I selfish?
Wow, this really is a big existential kind of problem. First of all, I want to say, as somebody who was a single parent for 10 years, yes, you will be enough for your child as a sole parent. It is possible to parent alone. It's probably more challenging and it can be quite lonely, but it is absolutely possible. And ultimately, it is very rewarding. And I would also never underestimate that desire that, what did she, she's in her 30, yeah, she's 36. Mm. Like, that is a really huge, for many women, really huge kind of deep
drive.
Desire
to
be a mother and to have a child.
Yeah.
And I totally understand that. And I think it's very real. So for me, the biggest issue you have to make about, and I mean, the other thing she says is like, is it fair to bring a child into the world where I have to work full time and no, I'll rely on others? Most parents, where there's two parents, have to work full time and have to rely on others, whether that's paid others or grandparents to help them. And that's a whole other debate as to whether that's right or wrong. But for me, the biggest issue I think that she has to face in becoming a mother, and something I think I feel kind of, and this could be a bit controversial, is that I think a child deserves to know their origins. As far as I can understand from a little bit of research I did, there's legislation now. You know, if she may have somebody in mind to be the father of her child, you know, who is equally interested in, but maybe not because she talks about being alone. But I know now if you're going to look at using a sperm donor, as far as I understand in Ireland, there now is legislation that donors cannot be anonymous, so that their details have to be known to the agency or the clinic or whatever, and that a child has the right to contact them when the child turns 18. Mm. And I think that's very important. Because the other thing that you'll have to think about is what you're going to tell the child, because the child will start asking questions reasonably young, you know, if they're different from most of the kids in their class or whatever. And I think honesty is brilliant. I think we come from a country where lies and secrets were so much a part of our past. So if you're happy to be able to explain it to a child in obviously a form that they can understand and be truthful, I think then I don't think you're selfish. And I think if that's what you think, I think go for it.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time, the kind of the abstraction, the idea of what a child and a family is kind of railroads its way through the conversation instead of the actual realities that of what families are like on the actual streets where we live. And that is whether or not, you know, it's single families, whether it's same-sex couples, whether it's, you know, there's loads of ways in which families can like deviate from the norm, because the norm doesn't actually mean like an ideal. There's not actual examples of this perfect family. They don't exist. So I think a lot of people put pressure on themselves to strive to be this perfection thing that doesn't really happen. And as long as a child is loved and cared for and given food and opportunities, you know, I'm down for that kid. I believe that kid is in a good place. I think for people, though, as they, you know, they try to go through their own lives, whether that's men, women, and they desire to have children, that becomes about them. That becomes about how they marry what is available to them in the world that they exist in. Now, for women, there's a biological imperative, as you've described, and I think that that's kind of pushing a time limit on when things can happen. Mm-hmm. And if the partner isn't available, I mean, I don't see a reason why that a woman can't go and go through some form of fertility treatment, or even meet somebody, whatever it is. It happens all the time. Because ultimately it's down to whether or not having a child that you love and you care for is not selfish. I don't understand where the selfishness comes into play. The only way in which it can be interpreted as selfishness.
Maybe she's thinking it's just on the child.
That
she wants to have a child, but this boy or girl is going to grow up. Like, we had a parent.
Oh, no, I understand that.
We had a question in parenting yesterday about from someone who has three children and from two different fathers. Now, the oldest two was from a man that obviously the relationship broke down, but they still see the father regularly. The third child is from a father who is not involved in their life at all. So the third child, when they go to visit their father, the youngest sibling is going, why can't I go too? Mm. Where's my dad? And so, you know, it was kind of heartbreaking to read it. Mm. So that is a difficulty, Sheila, because this kid's going to have friends who have
I file that under the realities of life rather, unfortunately.
But also, as somebody who's been there, like, you know, my eldest daughter, her father was never involved in her life, has never met her, nor she him. And there was just the two of us until she was about 10. And then I got married. She had two more sisters, yada, yada. But I mean, she did always know she was different from most of her friends who lived with mammy and daddy. And we lived for a long time with my parents as well. So she had a completely different home life than most of her friends did. But I think that was the point I was trying to make about being honest with her and saying, it's different. Like, and even right up when she became a teenager and when the other two came along, I always made it a really big point of telling the other two when they were small, our family started different. Our family started with me and my eldest daughter, and then my husband, and then the two more.
Yeah.
So it was a different genesis, if you like, than most families would be.
Yeah.
And I think kids can cope with anything as long as you're straight up with them and you give them the information.
And she's discussed it with her parents and siblings,
they're all
supportive. So you couldn't ask for more, really.
Yeah, and me and Declan being godparents.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Both my parents are deaf, by the way, and when they were considering having children, there was a lot of external pressure on them that it was somehow irresponsible because a child deserves X, Y. No, a child deserves a parent who listens to the gay burnout. Is that what, you know, it's ridiculous.
It does
have this kind of impact on the parents, but for me, it doesn't have any impact. Well, none that's been worked out in therapy yet.
Yeah. I think equally my eldest daughter is reasonably sane.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, good to know. Well, certainly everybody texting in as well agrees with you that she should definitely go ahead and do it, though. Barbara and Declan have offered themselves to make sure your child's religious education is fulfilled.
Absolutely.
Thanks a million, Barbara and Declan.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.